up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in.
Well, and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us as well. S&P Futures, we're going back the other way today. Yesterday we were down, actually we ended up down 30-something in the S&P Futures. We're up 2350. It's 0.6%. With NASDAQ Futures up 95.7. Again, boy, oh boy, we're... Fibonacci's in there. We're going two-thirds back and forth, Kevin. I don't know what that means. That means maybe you should go get a Fibonacci.
Okay, so here's your big question. What kind of other thing is Fibonacci a good name to give? Should you name your dog Fibonacci? Or is that
I think you might have to put a short on that. I mean, have to be if Venkman was Fibonacci, I think he'd be Fibby or something.
It sounds like a fib, like a lie.
Yeah.
It's a Fibonacci. It's a whopper.
Fibonacci. Okay, so it's a Tommy Flanagan type of thing. Tommy Fibonacci.
How come all those dudes, Fibonacci and like Nostradamus and those kind of guys, all had the same kind of beards? You think there was a correlation there? Or does everybody... They didn't have any Bics in those days. No, what do you think it was?
We'll have to work on that. Yeah, maybe it's the parasites that were growing in them that made them think the way they did.
Yeah. Well, the beards. Some of them look like they got small birds in there, for God's sake. But that's another story. But yeah, there's, what was the somehow or another? And I was never a Fibonacci fan. Our buddy Kevin Reardon was, and it's all about. Something like two-thirds being a, you know, some sort of a thing that's found in nature. And I never could figure that out necessarily. I was never a big Fibonacci fan. But when somebody says that, they say that, like, if you're down 100 points the next day, a normal bounce back would be like 60-some points. Okay, the things get overshoot and then they come back. And then the question is, where do you go from there? So the last 2 days, we've had that sort of an issue. And because yesterday we were almost two-thirds of, actually we weren't. We're nowhere near two-thirds, but today we were. But now, last week we had a day that was like exactly two-thirds. So I don't know. Like I said, I never was a big technical analyst kind of guy, but some guys are really into it. I mean, matter of fact, one of our clients way, way, way back, I'm sure he's got to be dead now, but he's the guy that I learned all the stuff about the Resolution Trust from when I was that I'm still horrified about to this day. Because he was a big developer in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area. And when all that stuff ended up, Keating and all those guys, Keating was one of his buddies. So when all that stuff ended up being, shall we say, parceled off to other people at 15, 20 cents on the dollar, he was privy to all those negotiations and was, when he came out of it, he was not a fan of government, let's put it that way. Even though he was Republican, the people who were stealing at the time were Bush 1's friends. So who's ever, that's why I makes it hard for me and all the stuff I've seen, Kevin. I know there's differences obviously between the parties and some of the agendas and clearly the tax increases and all. I mean, who are your guys? But the fact is, every group that gets in there has their trailing carpetbaggers and scalawags behind them that steal all the dough. And it really almost doesn't matter. You know, when Obama came in, it was his people that got some of these houses and things and places and figured out where the mortgage stuff was going to go. I mean, how many plans did we did we have?
Well, it's the entrenched political class and bureaucracies that that do all the stealing, and then you have the ideologues on the left and ideologues on the right. And what happens there is that they have to keep them happy, so they keep them happy with policy, and that's where the nuttiness comes in.
Yeah, I mean
that now.
But I really don't.
If there was any notion that Joe Biden was going to be a moderate, well, you know, maybe he is personally, but from a governing standpoint, he clearly is not. Everything that's gone in has been. Has been a gift to the crazy part of his party.
I wonder if you can even just if you're the person they drop your crusty old butt in the Oval Office and wherever. I don't know how much control do you think you even have on that, Kevin? I mean, I'm talking about not Dem or right or left or right here. I mean, what can you? It seemed to me that you know. Even the last president we had there was Trump. Trump tried to do some stuff, and I don't even know if the people under you pay any attention. Are they will you forget? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you can deal.
Well, clearly
with
the bureaucracy didn't pay any attention to him because they just went off and actually worked counter to Trump. I mean, what was the guy, the envoy to Syria, said? You know, after they got told that they had to draw down the troops, he said they spent 4 years playing a shell game. He was bragging about it in an interview. They spent 4 years playing a shell game to hide the troops from Trump and Trump's people.
Well, I mean, what I think that's happened to everybody, and that's why.
Yeah, I agree with you. Except, it depends from an agenda standpoint as to there's that piece of the pie that if your agenda doesn't align with the. With the president, then then you can do a lot to undermine him. If, however, your agenda aligns with him, then you're not going to be as overtly. You're not going to work to counter him so much. And I get it in foreign policy that one of the things that they don't want to happen is they don't want foreign policy lurching back and forth every 4 to 8 years. The foreign policy people think part of their mission is to smooth it out as much as they can, but then there's the rest of the bureaucracy, and they decide that they're going to be there longer than anybody else, so they'll just outlast them and they'll do what they damn well please.
Well, that's essentially what happened when I was on the board of the SIBO. The bureaucracy just said, well, we've got a couple guys in here that are maybe going to push back for a while, and we'll just wait for 3 years. I mean, whenever people.
I did that a lot in the corporate world myself, where I said, well, I can't stand this guy, but, I'll outlast him. I outlast people.
Well, yeah.
One of my handful of superpowers.
Well, but you wonder what exactly, unless you came in, I mean, you'd almost have to come in, boy, I hate the hell to say this. You'd have to come in with almost like a party of believers under yourself to where. There's no doubt that if I put Lou in charge of the Veterans Administration, I know what I'm going to get. I'm going to get a place that's, as much as Lou and I bark back and forth on policy, I know he'd do a spectacular job there. I wouldn't even have to worry about it. Type of thing. like when our buddy Craig Fowler became the, he did the Rockne dinner for the Notre Dame Club of Chicago. So the first thing he does is call me up and he says, there's this party that you've never been to upstairs in the place where they have the Rockne dinner. And all the, the insiders get invited up to the suite before and after while the schmucks are downstairs buying their beers and mingling around. He goes, will you handle a party for me? And I go, sure, Craig. I mean, I never do anything for him. And he goes, well, there's one thing now I don't have to worry about because I know you'll do a good job. He basically said, "There's one thing now, one thing less I have to worry about. I don't have to check in on you because I don't, So I wonder how many people that the president even has like that around him that he doesn't have to worry about what are these idiots doing or what am I going to read in the paper about.
I think in Trump's case, there were probably two or three that, at least in his mind, he didn't have to worry about. One of them was named Ivanka, the other was named Jared.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were the ones that were going to do what he wanted to do, and everybody else was suspect. And he, you know, one of the things, and I know I've commented about this before, Trump falls in love with people too easily. He gets too impressed, especially by wealth. He would always get so impressed with some people, and then they'd come into office, and they would be a total letdown, and he would be, you know, so... I'm trying to think of a relatively nice way. He'd all of a sudden turn on them and be such a jackass about it,
yeah,
that, you know, and that was the revolving door. But he had some other people that were there the whole time, so I'm sure that he has a fair amount of faith in Ben Carson because Ben Carson was there the whole time.
Or he never even looked into what he did. That's possible, too. I'm not saying in a bad way. It's not something when people and the alligators are at the boat. That's not the department you're worried about. Usually,
probably not. But it had some significant impact, especially in the areas in healthcare areas. But at any rate, the point being that you need to be able to put together a team that's going to function. And I don't think Trump has any clue about building teams. You know, his reality show was not that different. I probably shouldn't say this because I don't think I ever watched his reality show for more than about 2 minutes. But this idea that you can just get to the end and say, "Well, you're fired," then, you know, that's no way to run a business. No way to run a president's administration. You know, we'll get you in. If I don't like it, you're fired. Next person.
Well,
you get no continuity. Your initiatives falter that way. You guarantee. You got enough working against you in the bureaucracy. That's a guarantee that your initiatives are going to have fits and starts.
Well, the I guess the educational piece here is not just opining on, you know, who there is an alternative way to this. And I don't know, Matty, if I might have mentioned it before. I'm not sure I did, but there. I'm not a genius where, you know, where's Lou when I need him, on the British style of government. All right, now it's you know, it's a democracy. I mean,
that means you go to Parliament and they yell at you.
Well, they're a little more feisty in Parliament than they are here.
those are interesting, aren't they?
Well, you know, the weird part of it is I don't just as an aside, this lady who just removed her name for the office of White House budget and stuff.
And Neera Tanden. Yeah.
The only thing they have bad about her is that she insulted a few of the senators. Well, so what? If you're capable,
well, first of all, it was more than a few, but she made enemies on both the left and the right.
Well, and it probably wasn't good. And I'm going to say there's morons on the left and the right. They probably deserved it.
Just no, saying. You know, some of it. No, I don't think so. I mean, for instance, she took off after Sanders because. Primarily because he was running against Clinton, not because of anything that Sanders did.
I thought she was over the fact that none of his programs added up. Anyway, the better story.
No, it got really personal.
Okay,
no,
all right.
It was more than that. Neera Tanden is just a different version of Trump, where, you know, there's no filter.
Oh, all right. Okay.
No tact.
Well, I guess here just as a brief overview of the British system. It, like I said, it is allegedly a you know, a democracy like ours, but and I don't know why this ever developed like this, Kevin. I mean, it's not in the. I don't think it's in the Constitution. I'm not a. I've read. Maybe I don't know if you can check this. When a new president comes in from a different party, obviously the Biden did. There's some huge number, like 1,500 to 2,000 people resign. I mean, everybody piles out, and you so. Like the Undersecretary of State for like South America resigns. Like we're in Britain, that whole now everyone has its, you know, its pluses and minuses. In Britain, those are professional positions, and the people hired there are designed to be hired for whoever happens to be up top. They're supposed to be like the best. I mean, you don't change every professor when you get a new head of a university. I mean, the person who's there is supposed to be a professor, no matter who's in charge, right? Obviously, you can't stand the person. It might be different, but so it is incredibly difficult for somebody like Trump, who doesn't know any of these people. Well, unless he, you know, other than socially or non-socially, how the hell would you and I come up with 1,500 people, Kevin? I mean, you can ask some of them to stay, But I mean, that's why the British can change leaders like we change underwear, because the people under them, I don't think they get rid of 10 people. I mean, the guy who's the
agreed, but the way you would have to do it, you know, if I were looking at it and saying how would I do this, is I have to make sure that I get people I trust right off the bat to you know, to be doing that hiring, to be lining up all of those types of people. And you know, that was that's any president's challenge. Trump wasn't an insider, so it was a bigger challenge. And you know, he brought right along, you know, who was his chief of staff? It's what's the guy's name from Wisconsin?
I know what you're talking about.
Reince Priebus. You know, Reince Priebus is an old-time insider. So, you know, did he serve the president well, or did he not serve him well? You know, you start asking those questions, but did he serve the typical insider interests first? And, you know, the answer to that was probably yes. So, how do you get it aligned to what you want to accomplish?
You don't have that many people.
I've lived it and had, you know, I've lived it at department levels, and I've seen it and been part of it at company levels. It is really hard to, not just to change, to get your team together, but it's hard to change a culture. So if you're going to come in and really make changes, first of all, you better be good at it. And I don't know, you know, I have no feeling that Trump was any good at changing culture. But more to the point is, you need the time, and you need some base level of cooperation. And the way you do that is you go out and you have to find out who the most respected people are that are still in government, and you have to take the time to build a relationship and enlist those people on your side. I never saw that happen with Trump.
But you're in a period of a year or two, the way our system works. I'm not saying we should, you know, become we have a king or something. I mean, I like our system, but the older I get, Kevin, I see there's serious weaknesses in it, and I can see that what happens is, if, say, one of us ran for president, or we'll run Matty Weber. He's younger and better looking. We run him for president. Well, the first thing he needs is this campaign team.
So he's going to be like, what, Dan Quayle?
Well, he's not as rich as Dan Quayle.
Yeah, no,
we'll march him out there because he's young and good looking.
Yeah. You know, I didn't mind what's her name from Alaska. I thought she was hot. What's her name?
Sarah Palin.
Oh, Sarah Palin?
Yeah, I didn't mind her at all, actually. But anyway, that's an
honest. I think, I don't know how old she is now, but I think she's still really attractive.
Oh, God, yeah. And,
you know, very good looking woman. So, yeah, if we're just going for looks, yeah.
Well, you know.
She's back. She could come back now.
She could back.
She's 57.
I think she and her husband split, too, so she's available for you, Tom. Too bad.
I think she'd be looking for something higher up than me, I'm just saying. But anyway, but look at what you do. You're running for office, and you attract a group that, if you're successful, and it's a long slug, okay, to win. Plus, you don't know you're going to win, right? So you're pounding on this one to the end. You're going 24 hours, 24/7 on this thing. And you get to the end, and now you have these 15, 20 trusted people that are working for you. I don't know how much you're paying them, but now they're looking for this, quote, reward, quote, job. Right? Well, I don't know that if Matty Weber is my world's best campaign guy and brought from four states, that he's the best Secretary of Defense or Secretary of the Treasury. I mean, it's a totally different skill set.
National Security Advisor, yeah. Or some of those that came in there. What was Sessions was Attorney General. Obviously, right off the bat, Trump hated what he did.
Yeah. So I mean, you end up with. I guess I don't know if you even get the time filling in that many jobs. I guess what I'm saying it's a huge.
Well, and if you're an outsider, you don't even know what questions to be asking people.
That's right. That's right. And plus, you dump somebody. How many people do you think are in the Department of Transportation? 60,000? 50? I mean, what kind of numbers are we even talking about? So you put some schmuck or schmuckette up on top of the place for 4 years. What do they even do? I mean, you can have some agenda, but. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is the momentum of the bureaucracy, we're getting closer to Russia than I'd like. We still have these 15,000 people that work in the Consumer Protection Group with Elizabeth Warren's gang. What do they do all day? I mean, what's their direction? I mean, we've got so many cabinet-level posts now that, you know, I didn't realize that the office of the budget, this lady needed congressional approval. Why? To be, is that a cabinet post? No? I mean,
solution to that is that if we look at the 10th Amendment of the Constitution that says the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So maybe we go back to one of my favorite rants and say less government, less federal government is better. Not because not so much philosophically, according to the Constitution, but because it's incapable of functioning effectively and it's inherently corrupt. And I think that's there's a strong constitutional argument for smaller government because it's pretty specific about saying unless it says it in this how many pages is the Constitution? It's a very short document. Unless it says it in here, it's not the federal government's business, and that's all been usurped.
Well, maybe
that's your solution though, Tom. Is you just you kind of get back to the basics here.
Well, I think some of the basics somewhat suck too, though. You know, I think we saw that this year with the COVID thing. And you were the one. And by the way, I've been going to call you about 100 times. And what was the thing that happened after Katrina that they gave all these governors the right to, or the federal government basically, instead of going in?
I'd have to go look it up again. But basically, it might have been the Emergency Powers Act or something like that. But yeah, Congress very specifically said that these are governor responsibilities.
Well, I'm a fan, I guess, of states doing some stuff and having criminal. But the first time my thought process, there's times in life, you change your mind a little bit. And the one time I did, Kevin, is I was doing the World Series marketing thing for the CBOE, and the next day, buffoons at the Pecos. SIBO was trying to buy the Pecos, and I was on the double secret negotiating committee, right? So they decided they needed a meeting the next day. So I had to get from New York to San Francisco, which is one hell of a flight, right? It's like 6.5 hours. You're going against the wind the whole way. And so as I'm sitting in one of the guys, thank God, gave me a first class pass because I didn't have one of those on my own.
You don't apply coach for that one.
Well, let's put it this way. I had messed up my back playing handball. And until one seat opened up in first class, I had the last row middle seat.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and I'm thinking 6 hours of that, I'm going to be a pretzel. But anyway, so I ended up getting the first class seat, which was obviously a lot better. And I'm looking out the left and the right, and I'm thinking, I've always been kind of a state's writer, but I really don't like the idea that in that state down there, marijuana is life imprisonment, possession, and that one over there, it's a misdemeanor. And these 50 governors, while they were competing for all this stuff and acting like buffoons during this pandemic, I don't think that became, what's the word, a cacophony of geese or something or whatever it is. I mean, that didn't show to act all that well, did it? I mean, that you would have thought that the centralized federal government buying the masks and doing the things instead of these guys competing for them probably would have been better. I mean, I'm not sure, Kevin. In times of crisis, I don't think you need 50
governors. It doesn't preclude that. It is okay for the federal government to serve, to especially to do it, to offer it and have it voluntary joining, we'll get in the middle of this for you if you want us to, and you don't create a permanent bureaucracy around it. What you do is you say, okay, we'll have a coordinating role. And we'll give you an administrator who's going to make sure that this works for everybody. And here's the plan. We're going to start with this, and we're going to get that back together after 2 weeks, and we're going to say, is it working? What needs to be tweaked? All of those things that you do managing any kind of a project and with a lot of different constituencies involved. See, this is doable without necessarily ceding the power or building up all of the power into the federal government.
I don't disagree. I guess I read this thing once, God knows where somebody decided to make redo the states in a way where they made sense. Well, you didn't have Vermont and New Hampshire, which essentially are the same place, two different states.
Yeah, except except one's incredibly conservative and the other one's incredibly liberal. Well, let's figure that one out.
Yeah, but is that one side of the river? is it colder on one side?
There's got to be something in the water. I'm not sure why.
Well, you know what else is bizarre is that, according to our buddy Dr. Blade, the school system funding is totally different. On one side, you know, they charge people an arm and a leg, and it's, you know, the tile locker rooms and the Cadillac operation. On the other side, you still got concrete floors in the locker rooms, and they essentially spend the minimum. And there's like no difference in ratings for kids coming out, which is bizarre. But I'm saying you wouldn't in the Midwest, you would probably have, you know, below I-80, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, some of Ohio. That would be a state, okay. And then you would have, you know, Chicago to Milwaukee to Detroit would probably be a state because it has different as you know, there's. You wouldn't have New Jersey being separate from some of the places. I mean, it made sense the way the guy did it.
Yes, you would. Everybody would say no.
Nobody wants to New Jersey.
You know, not with us. Go to those guys.
I mean, California should be
New
two. California should be two states, probably. Right. I mean, it's big enough for God's sake.
At least.
Yeah. I mean, you'd probably, you know, take Northern California, Washington, Oregon, and maybe put them together. You know, I mean, Colorado and Utah, really. I mean, I'm saying if you. There's a lot of stuff that we could do differently and better here. I mean, Chicago or Illinois has more municipalities than any other state in the union. It's not even close. On the west side, there's probably a 10-square-mile area with probably five police departments. I mean, what are we doing? Right? I mean, talk about wasting dough. But, so I mean, you know, there's a lot of ways to go about doing it. And sometimes I just like to ask, you know, what if? What if we shortened up on the amount of people that the president had to appoint when he came into office. It had a few more. But then when you say career bureaucrats, that brings up yet another problem. You know, are they there just because they're there? We don't want a bunch of J. Edgar Hoovers around that seem like, you know, that they can't be fired because they got a dossier on everybody. So I don't really know what the answer is, Kevin. I think it makes it very difficult for somebody to make a lot of change in 4 years the way we're currently set up. Because people barely get their fanny in a chair and they're out of there, right? If the guy loses, and 4 years is not a lot of time if you're trying to transform a 25 or 50,000 person department.
No, because 4 years is what it can take. You know, if you're really good at it, it's what it can take to turn around a business,
or a
whole government,
or a baseball team, or a softball team. SP Futures up 22. SP Futures up 63. Now, it's a softball team. You got to get the old guy off the mound like me. You know, there's little things you got to do. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP futures up 18, make that 1775. We were just up 24. NASDAQ futures up 53. Dow futures still up, pushing 200 points. Individual stocks in the Dow, we've got the Boeing up 296, rating 226. We've got Goldman Sachs up 4. So those are pushing the Dow pretty good. We've got Disney up $1.83. Disney's at this constant high here. We're at this somewhere. We'll have to ask Mr. Weber what he thinks of that, because he knows more about the... I thought ESPN was dying, and all of a sudden Disney going right to the moon. It's kind of crazy.
I think Disney Plus has been very big for them.
I think it has, too. DAX up 124.9%. FTSE up 52.8%. CAC around up 34.6%. So they're bouncing back from yesterday there as well. Nikkei up 150. These guys were down. They've been down this week, even though they were all over the place. Shanghai up 68. That's a whole 2%. Hang Seng up 784, that's a whole 2.7%. Now, these guys had a couple days where they were down 4. This has got to be one of the wildest weeks I've seen over in Asia the last 4 or 5 days, like ever. As a way of review, yesterday the Dow was down 143, S&P down 31, NASDAQ down 230. So now we're up 17 and 57 respectively. So we're back, whatever, 60% of the way in the S&P and maybe a third of the way in the NASDAQ. So they're all over the place, this stuff. Bonds. 10-year 1.45, up 3 basis points. Bund, minus 0.31. Japan down a little bit, actually, to 0.11. It was up to 0.13, I believe, 0.14 the other day. We've got oil up 95 cents, but still up 60.70. So it's kind of right where it was, even though it's been fluctuating by the day. Brent up 94 cents, 63.64. Natural gas up a penny, 285. RBOB up a penny, 195. And gold, which is up a little bit yesterday, is down 11 today, 17.22. So very much at the low end of the range. Doesn't mean it won't break through the range, but if you're thinking it's range bound, it's probably a buy here. Silver down 22 cents, 26.65. Copper down 4 cents, 4.18. Matty, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways, especially compared to the last couple of days. No issues at all coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. You'll see some traffic building on the Eisenhower, but nothing out of the ordinary there. Same for the Stevenson. Southside Expressway is all quiet, as is Lakeshore Drive. Only significant crash in the area is pretty far southwest, and it actually has Highway 30, Lincoln Highway, closed due to this crash that happened overnight involving a semi and a car. Emergency crews remain on the scene, and it has US 30 closed for investigation there, and that's right at Wolf's Road on US 30, so you'll want to avoid that area. Off the expressways up north, there's one other crash, and it's a multi-vehicle accident on Algonquin Road on the eastbound side just before Bateman. So there's expect some delays going on Algonquin there. Everything else all quiet. Weather today, lots of sunshine, a beautiful early March day as we'll reach a high of 49 degrees today. Right now it is clear and 38 going up to a very pleasant 49. For our Phoenix listeners, overcast today, but mild, a high of 82. Right now it's clear and 52. In sports, the Bulls were off last night. They're back in action tonight down in New Orleans. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off against the Pelicans. The Suns with a nice win over the Lakers, 114-104. College hoops, Illinois with the win of the season last night, blowing out number 2 Michigan on the road, 76-53, and that was without Illinois' best player, Io DeSumo, who's still nursing the facial injury, and he's missed the last couple of games. But Illinois just locked down Michigan. They couldn't get anything going and then pulled away in the second half to a very impressive win.
Hey, wasn't it like 62-35?
At one point, yeah. They were up by close to 30, I think. Ended up winning by 23. But to beat Michigan on the road this season has been a task that no one's been able to do until last night. And then to do it without your best player is just really something. DePaul was in action last night. They lost at home to Marquette, 77-71. Chief.
The interesting times in the market for sure. I mean, it's the swings back and forth, and I mean, Mike was on the other day saying he thought that those swings eventually will cause a breakout one way or the other, and he's not happy. He was thinking the breakout might be down and not up, but who knows? But when this starts to happen on a daily basis, and you get and governments in it up to their eyeballs. It just makes me very nervous, Kevin. I don't know what the outcome is, because then you have people that are in total denial about inflation numbers. I mean, well, that, you know, that's the reason you put. I mean, when we talk about Trump's cabinet, we're talking about that a little bit. I mean, you know, Mnuchin was a guy who worked for Goldman, that had his own firm, and his own firm was a hedge fund of some kind. They're the ones that lent Trump a bunch of money to carry him over a problem he had with Deutsche Bank. I mean, so the guy gets the job because he lent Trump money. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Mnuchin was doing movie production.
Well, he was doing a lot of stuff, but he backed a lot of people. He ended up with a big, hedge fund. Doesn't mean you're hedged. I mean, you'd be an investor type of thing. I mean, he ended up with a big puddle of money that he essentially invested coming out of Goldman Sachs. Go figure. I'm not saying wasn't a brilliant guy. I mean, he obviously was a big star at Goldman Sachs, to where he had his own firm and people gave him that kind of dough. But those people, the reason why you give people that kind of money is not because they just happen to be bright. You think they're connected. And the further and further we go, you know, last Thursday, if anybody was listening, or I know a lot of people were, but when Lou was talking about the economic system, we know the term. It's very fascist right now. You're either in, it's really hard for a company to do very well that, I mean, you can do it on a certain level. I mean, the places where Kevin is, and he always talks about it, talking about you like you're not here, Kevin, you know, the distribution system for the Midwest has, for a lot of reasons, kind of slunk its way out of Chicago. In some areas, northwest Indiana, southwest Michigan, to a certain extent, Joliet and those kinds of places have done. They've had these big rings around Chicago. There's a couple places on the north side, and the rail system here, the one that everybody's bitching about, is the Canadian National built the one that's, there's a big ring, railroad ring around the Chicago, where now there's all kinds of trains on there. That rail corridor is now servicing a lot of these places, and there's more trains, and it goes through these towns, and they're not coming through the central city like they used to be. These are developments that people are taking advantage of in certain areas. But by and large, it seems like if you're not involved in something monopolistic or government or involved with satellite TV where there's only two of them, or if you're not involved in something like that, Kevin, it seems very hard to really get ahead. And the people that are in that do amazingly. They're not making 10% of you and everybody else is making 4. They're making 50 and everybody else is struggling. I mean, it's a real, and I don't know how you stop that. I don't know if you want to stop it or make it more difficult or make it even. I'm not even sure how you do it, much less get anybody who agrees with me that maybe we should do something about it. I mean, obviously nobody likes what Elizabeth Warren's talking about, but she's seeing the same thing, I think, that you're seeing and I'm seeing. I don't like her approach to it, but what do you do when somebody gets so favored by government or sneaks along? I mean, does Jeff Bezos really deserve this kind of dough? I mean, or did he just take advantage of a total lack of any kind of antitrust or anything? And the answer is probably B. Now, what do you do about it? I mean, maybe you do nothing, you know, and figure he'll piss away his dough like everybody else does. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of questions there, but
that's not a plan.
No, but I'm saying, I honestly believe, Kevin, I was here listening yesterday, that a lot of those fines that the banks got, like in 2010, 2011, were just, they weren't even fines for anybody they cared about. They just were, because of the programs that the Bush-Obama group there, when everything fell apart, gave these banks to keep them solvent so the Fed didn't look bad, that they ended up giving them so much money that they were appalled at how much they gave and took some of it back. They called it a fine.
It was tribute. They were kicking up.
Yeah, they were kicking up. And, it seems like wherever the government gets involved, these guys do very... I don't want the government involved on this stuff, yet they are, and they're picking winners. And look at the businesses you have. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, no matter who was the people that were coming up with the research on the vaccines and the stuff, that at the top of the day, you're going to have Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson and those kinds of people, right? They're either going to buy the other guy, they're going to do something, and here they are, making the deals with the government, right? You can't get away from it. And, I don't see... If that's the road we're going, I don't see how we ever break out of this inequality piece, economic inequality. I don't see how you ever get a raise at the lower end of the Johnson & Johnson scale. Okay, you get a raise from $14 to $15. Meanwhile, your inflation doubles over 5 years. I mean, I don't see a way out of it here, do you?
Well, let me see. Yeah, you know what? As you ask that, no, not really. I don't. If there is ever going to be a way out of it, it's, somebody is going to have to figure out a way. Somebody in a leadership role is going to have to do more than a populist type of message. There has to be some ability to have, to kind of articulate a vision of what this needs to look like X number of years out. Is it 8 years out because you can have two terms? Is it 10 years out? Is it 20 years out? And then start building a path to that. One of our problems is that we are so beholden, each party is so beholden to the fringes on the left and on the right, that every time we make a change, we lurch back the other way. And to make it worse, we have implemented so much stuff by executive order that it's easy to undo it. So you can't get on a path to anything now.
Well, I'm going to say...
So, how are you going to change it? Well, first of all, it takes the philosopher king to pull it off. But aside from that, mechanically, we're just not in a position to pull it, to accomplish it.
Well, I think there's two things going on, and it's my message, and I don't know if Matty thinks I'm nuts. I'm sure he does, but there's two things going on. There's this...
Not necessarily for this, though. So
not just for this, yeah. There's the fringe, there's the fight between the left and the right and the coffee shops and the saloons and the kitchens, between this guy's, they asked that guy's, I mean, and these people. There's that fight. Okay, there's like two things going on here. It's like two chessboards. There's that, where you can argue with people over who essentially gets in office, and this guy disrespected this, and all this crap is going on. But the real stuff that's going on is who is in this $1.9 trillion bill, and how'd they get there? The fact is, Kevin, you're not in it. I'm not in it. But at least now the money's getting so big that they're smart enough to throw people a $1,400 bone, which is what, 10-20% of the package at most?
Right, because then you can poll the people and say, are you in favor of this? And everybody will say yes and no. The number I keep seeing is that that COVID, direct COVID relief is like 9% of the package.
Well, yeah. Now, so what is the guy in Texas? Now, whether he's right or wrong, I won't get into it. Frank will think I'm a knucklehead because I happen to think the mask mandate is crazy. And, some people think, I don't know who's right there. Whatever. I have my opinion.
I'm right. Well, just go with me and everything. You'll be fine with everything.
Well, I have my opinion that I think when I caught COVID, I was wearing a mask in a hospital. So I question how good of a job it did. Let's put it that way. Anyway. But now this, what is the Texas no mask mandate thing? Not just what does it mean for Texicans walking around the street, but what if 30 states follow up? Now I gotta believe that there's $30 billion in this stupid bill for people making and storing masks. Now, who gets that money? Is it not spent? Did they make them anyway and just not use them? I mean, what?
How much did we not spend in the last bill?
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of things going on here that it's like a market, you know, where somebody will say the next day, gee, market's up 18 as Matty Weber leaves the can. Okay. there's got to be how many different bits of information are affecting how many hundred stocks are in the market or 1,000 stocks that are affecting it, and for somebody to say this is the reason. But I mean, there's the sniping over the politics, and then there's the people that actually carve up the money, and there's two levels here, Kevin, and the level two is the part that's important. Who's getting this cash? I mean, are we really paying the CFO of United Airlines his regular salary? I mean, are we really paying the chief engineer of Boeing his regular salary when we had to do to bail those guys out with 450 planes sitting on the ground? I mean, is there any kind of limit to the largesse that we give to? Now, do I want Boeing going under? No. Are United Airlines going under? No. But I mean, nobody else we know is getting their regular paycheck at home. They're getting unemployment, and we've spruced the unemployment, so it's not so bad. But what are we doing here? We've picked 10 firms that we, or maybe 20 or 30, and we're paying people regular stuff. And are they even going to work? I mean, does a flight attendant really need to get paid as a flight attendant when they haven't been on a plane in 9 months? I mean, why aren't they on regular employment like everybody else? I mean, I'm not saying they should, but I mean, does anybody even know that this stuff's happening? Or can anybody keep, and I probably know 2% of it. Which, you know, makes you a maven.
Well, isn't that the problem, too, is there's so much information overload. And honestly, there is so much superfluous stuff. And let me give you an example, because, you know, I don't like it, but it became a big point of discussion, and so, you know, a lot of people were taking opinions. First week priority of the administration was making it so that transgender people, and this wasn't the only thing that they put into it, but as far as the executive order, but it was a significant one. The transgender people or boys who identify as girls can compete in girls' sports, and so now that's a big deal. Is that a priority in this country? Is that something that most people, or a large percentage of people, wake up thinking is really important? And the answer to that is, I doubt it. I doubt it. It would cross most people's mind unless you provoke it. And sometimes I wonder if if what's behind provoking it, as much as anything, is that it takes your eye off of everything else that's going on.
Without a doubt. It's been my theme for 15 years, is that somehow or another this is a diversion while people are doing all the stealing. I honestly believe it.
So we'll go with something that inflames the passions, and then off we go. And you know, everybody look over there. You know?
Well, but I also think you have...
And then we'll deal with this. Now, that's also happens to be an important issue to a small constituency, and that small constituency is very, very vocal. And as a result, you get, like I said, that's how that particular one becomes a priority, because you have, you have people, and, you know, is there money behind the people who really care about that? Well, let's go back to same-sex marriage. When President Obama, quote, evolved, it's because the biggest bundlers for the Democratic Party were all in favor of same-sex marriage. So guess what? The president evolved because they were telling him for his reelection campaign, you ain't getting a dime from us unless you deal with this.
There are all kinds of groups that are single issue voters. I mean, and I'm not saying that's bad. I mean, if I was a
but it is bad.
Well, okay, but I'm saying if I was a,
it's really stupid too.
Oh well, okay.
It's stupid. I agree with you, Matt, that it's stupid to be focused on only one issue as you vote, but it is not unusual for people to be passionate about an issue and to work for it.
I would say that...
That's true.
The example I was going to give is if I had been in the Iraq One and I'm wandering around without any legs, and somebody's going to increase the veterans' home budget, and they're going to start doing a lot more for people that have... handicaps from a war, I'm going to say I could very easily be a single issue voter. Maybe I never could because I'm not built that way, but my dentist, who unfortunately just died, a really nice guy, he and his wife were devout Catholics, and they voted for Bush. And in fact, his wife was giving me holy hell one day about how I didn't vote for Bush because he was against abortion. And I said, I'm not a fan of abortion, but I think it's a secular issue. I would hope that if I became president when I left, there would be less abortions than when I came in, only because there were other programs to make things right, and not people didn't feel they had to do that. But I would never, in my mind, it's a secular issue. Is that fair, Kevin? But then when we have invaded Iraq, Dr. Salmon was his name, he said, I'm really pissed off about that. I can't believe we're this stupid. And I said, Doc, when you're a single issue voter, you got to take the good with the bad. And he looked at me and he says, you're right. He goes, that's the problem with being a single issue voter. Correct? I got to believe that if you happen to be in that group that actually cares or worries about what locker room people are in, that Biden just got himself some votes. Fair enough?
I'm sure he did get some votes, but he also put off some people too.
Oh yeah.
He's got that problem. I don't think there was an advantage other than he owed some people. And you got to remember, Biden's a little bit of a unique case because you can always make the case. He makes the case for you that he is not necessarily the man of sound mind and body that we would like in the presidency. And I'm saying that as nicely as I can. But if you don't play ball. President Harris sounds pretty damn good to me. What is that, 25th Amendment?
Well, yeah, I would love to.
So you have those threats, plus you have the whole stuff about his family's dealings with Ukraine and China and so on, and you know that there's people in Washington that have the goods on that. If there's goods to have, they have them.
Well, look at Denny Hastert.
So you know that's there, and so, Joe, if you don't play ball, and I've been saying all along, I think if that thing comes to a head, it's not going to come from the right, it's going to come from the left.
We have to figure out at some point here, Kevin, maybe we're won't be in our lifetime, but we have to figure out who the hell's really in charge. How intense is the lobby, are the people that just, writing these bills and taking all the money, and do they even care about the place? I really do believe, because I, knew these people, that, and by the way, we have Russell here, so Russell will pine in. You and Kevin,
I was just going to say Rothschilds and then go back to what I was saying.
Yeah, so I honestly believe in the World War II era, if the three of us managed to get a PT boat contract or engine contract, we probably could stiff the government 5%. I don't think it was as wildly competitive as it maybe should have been, but, I think there was some competition there, and there were some people, since we didn't have a whole lot of money as a country, I think people cared about it. But the point being is if we got our PT boat thing and we're gonna pay our people a little more, we're gonna spend the money at the local saloon or coffee shop. It wasn't fair that we got 5 or 10% more, but it wasn't the end of the world either. And the money was spent here. But now, as Lou keeps talking about, and other people, these multinational places, they have no intention of paying taxes here. they have no intention the faster they get the money out of here, and even the executives, they don't even want to live here.
They don't see themselves as U.S. companies.
No, and they don't see themselves as U.S. citizens either. Hey, I'll go hang out in Monaco. Maybe I can score one of Grace Kelly's daughters. What the hell? What do I need you people for?
Which is, by the way, the biggest argument against the Elizabeth Warren tax, because the same people that she wants to tax don't see themselves on the whole as U.S. citizens, so they're just going to be off to wherever they have to go to avoid the tax.
Oh, it'll be an absolute...
Just like that's exactly what happened in France, and they had to repeal it and then start begging people to come back.
Well, but I also think that a lot of the gains, if the three of us designed a PT boat engine that was really good, and we got a contract, and we pumped out more than anybody else, and our guys, you know, the, our servicemen could count on our PT boat engines, and all of a sudden, we had three times as much money as the guy down the block. I don't think anybody cares about that so much. I mean, that's okay. That's America. But you look at what's happening to these places now that in 3 or 4 years of government largesse, the guy's worth like billions of dollars. I mean, he didn't get there. When I look at, I'm looking at my screen here of stocks. I mean, I don't know what you do about a place like Target, because I don't think they did anything wrong. But here's a place in the Chicago area. Now, countrywide, it's not like this. Could anybody have fallen into a pile of crap that didn't smell like these guys? First, Chicago doesn't allow Walmart in the place. Meanwhile, there's a Target on every corner now, right, Russell?
Pretty much.
There's Targets everywhere.
There's Targets everywhere. So they come in here, and oh, by the way, they decide to have some half-ass, originally, food aisle, right, which they never had before. Then we get the pandemic, and if you got a food aisle, you could be open and nobody else can. I mean, did these guys fall into it or what? I mean, every other store selling any piece of clothing is closed, and these guys, and why Macy's was so stupid that they didn't decide we're going to have two food aisles on the downstairs and open the place up, I have no idea. I mean, who's on that board? I mean, hey, wait a minute. What do we say? We need three aisles of canned goods, and we can open up. What's the matter with you, idiots? Get the free three aisles of canned goods. And Elizabeth Warren, I think, is seeing an awful lot of how exactly did that guy, at least Rockefeller, was his dough. Right, it was his risk, and Carnegie and those kinds of. You see people here, what risk did Jeff Bezos ever take? It was never his money. I mean, you know, Tesla, the guy's a brilliant man, but how much money in the beginning was it his? You know, I mean, the rewards seem to be just so outlierish, shall we say, Kevin, but we'll continue this on Friday. So, boy, the Big Ten tournament is going to be interesting. That'll be fun to watch.
It is, because you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if games are going to be close, or if they're, you know, like the Illinois-Michigan last night, just a blowout. I never would have guessed that. And, you know, any team, and you could turn around and play the next time Michigan blow out Illinois.
Well, one thing right now is I wouldn't want to play Michigan State either. They look like they did early in the year.
They have looked better.
Yeah.
They won again last night, yeah.
All right, Kevin, take care of yourself. Talk to you on Friday. S&P Futures now up 16, NASDAQ Futures up 62. We'll be right back, Mr. Russell Rhodes.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Here, right now.
There's something happening here.
Lord, no pay Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howie's Professor Russell Rhodes. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. So, man, you ever get to be like a professor? Like, call you professor?
No.
You sure?
I don't know. I'm not sure if I would like that job. I would have to ask Russell. I think I enjoy teaching. I think I do. I don't know if I would enjoy dealing with 20 young people or 50 or however many.
I have 124 students this semester.
Yeah. So you've officially separated yourself from young people? When I met you, you were young.
Well, I know. Isn't that the truth?
You were a ute?
I don't feel young anymore.
If you can score a job where all you do is teach, more power to you. If you start having to take on administrative duties, you're going to burn out very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had an epiphany a few days ago. I've never regretted saying no in my life, but I've sure regretted saying yes an awful lot.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, every Wednesday morning I get up really early because I said yes once.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then, you know.
And I don't take that the wrong way. You know, I'm kidding.
So. Well, you have a lot of great ideas and you like to get them out there.
Yes, I do. I have lots to say, like my beagle, who is just grumbling all the time and talking to me all the time.
Well, you know, there is a chance when you're on the podcast, and we might be back on the air soon, that somebody actually might listen, because there's some pretty interesting stuff people on the show say.
Oh, I know people listen. I've had people say things to me like they've listened, outside of here.
I get emails from, we have a cadre of like, some ladies. We think it would be more of a guy show, but we have couple of ladies that listen from like Wales, that every once in a while I get an email from. We have a few ladies in Arizona, a few in Ohio. You would never guess would listen. And every once in a while I'll get something like, "Hey, you were coughing," or something. You know, like, it'll be, like, be like your mom or something. But they listen all the time, and they go, I don't hear what you guys say anywhere else.
Speaking of listeners, had a comment here that I've been meaning to get to that came in regarding yesterday's show on vaccines. Newholm55 writes in, "I think you are off on J&J, Chief. Based on the same quality of data, it eliminates bad cases at same rate, better side effect profile, and best of all, the vector viral technology has been used in human with two. I don't know what this means. In human with two and pets, 8 vaccines." More long-term reference data. Personally, I'm leaning to J&J over any RNA vaccines and have the luxury to wait since I'm not in the high-risk category.
I have...
You were saying that you would not take the J&J yesterday.
No, I said I would take the other one. I'm looking at the... I just happen to have it still up. I didn't put it in the ether where I could never find it again. Figure 1, cumulative incidence curve of centrally confirmed moderate to severe critical COVID-19 cases with onset at least one day after vaccination. Full analysis set. Whatever the hell that means. So there's a red line here of the people on the placebo and a blue line on people of the that got the vaccine for 126 days. Now, the first 14 days, they're like dead even. At the end of 14 days, 81 people came back from the placebo and said they were sick, 76 of the people with the vaccine. So it's almost dead even. So it doesn't help you for 10 days, which we know. It takes 10 days to make the antibodies. My criticism of this is twofold. And by the way, like I said, I would take it tomorrow. I mean, when it's my turn. But the two criticism. One is the same thing, the same, shall we say, the way we're judging the incidence of vaccine or incidence of COVID in society is not the way we're judging the tests on these things. So these things, you're going to give 19,744 people got the drug, 19,822 got the placebo. But we're not following these people. This is my concern. It is just what it says, severe to critical COVID, moderate to severe critical. So we're sending these people out, go forth and do something, young man. And only if people come back and say they're sick are they being counted. We're not sending people after them, even on a random sample. It'd be pretty hard to do to 40,000 people almost. But we're not sending random samples saying, "Russell, you're in my sample, so every 4 days I'm sticking my needle into you or whatever, the thing in your nose and test if you have it." we don't know whether these people have are actually catching it, and the disease and the level is just lower. We don't even know if they're a carrier.
Well, that's a good point, and it leads me to an obvious question. At least it's obvious in my mind. So, for the past 12 months, the death rate and the percentage of people that actually get really really sick from this. Not saying that no one has, but it's obviously very low compared to the number of positive tests that we see. So we've been tracking on positivity rate, not on death rate.
Correct.
Right?
Well, we're tracking them both.
Track them both, yeah. but we close things down based on positivity rate. Because the death rate stays the same. It has been.
Right.
For a long time now. But for the vaccines, we are no longer judging them as being successful based on positivity rate.
Right.
We're judging them based on, keeping the death rate and the very sick rate down.
Right. Correct. That's my point.
What a disconnect.
Yeah.
So when everyone's vaccinated, or when 60% are vaccinated, or whatever the target number is, 70% that they're trying to get to, at that point, are they going to stop worrying about people testing positive?
One would hope.
Because the vaccine literally is not made to prevent you from testing positive.
Well, we hope it is. But I don't understand, when you're spending this kind of money, I don't expect you to chase 40,000 people down to give them a test every 5 days. That's insane. But I'm reasonably, Russell's going to tell me I'm nuts. I'm a pretty fair believer in random sampling. I think you could take 500 people on each side and chase them down every week. But here's where the numbers come out. The number of cases at the end of 126 days, where they just totally flatlined, the people with the placebo that came back saying that they had moderate to severe cases was 432, and the people with the vaccine, it was 193. That's where you get your 66%. That's it. There's nothing to be said for the other 35,500 people. We come back with a number of, we were talking about 627 people. It's the only people we're counting at the end of the day. Out of 40,000.
Still a big enough sample.
Well, out of 40,000?
No, but just in general, like you said, you can, if you pick out 600 and some people, that's a big number. That's a big enough number.
What I'm saying, these are people that came back and reported back to you that they had symptoms that were moderate to severe.
Not everybody is going to
do it. And if you're not,
assume they told them that you have to do it if you come back with these symptoms. If you don't come back, we assume you don't have them.
Okay, but I would have my symptoms. I would not have called them moderate to severe.
And they would call you a success.
Yeah, which I wasn't, because I got it.
Well, that's my whole point.
Yeah. Well, you're on the same page. You're just talking about it differently.
Yeah. So after people are vaccinated, you can no longer worry about positivity rate, because you literally created a cure that doesn't care about positivity rate. It cares about keeping you alive.
Well, there's a reasoning here, and here's what I'm trying to get at, Manny. And again, I'm getting worse at being able to explain this stuff. If I'm spending this kind of money at Johnson & Johnson, I want to know how well the damn thing's working. Why don't I have 500 people that I have, 10 nurses or whatever, chase them down and give them a test every 5 days? I want to know everything that's happening to these people. Don't I? Why do I just leave it at this? If you feel sick, come back and tell me. That's not very good for the amount of money that we're being spent here, is it?
Do you think that's just because of the shortened time frame that they had to work with?
Well, they're also doing it in countries.
Or is it just a flawed way to do it?
I think they're doing it in countries like Brazil and places that maybe they can't chase people down as easy as you could here. I don't know. I'm just saying, when I read these numbers, as a test of a new vaccine, this to me is a C paper. I hope it doesn't mean that I don't think it. I don't think it works. I think they do work, okay. But I mean, it's not. I would like to know all the way along the stretch. 48 people got it. Oh, by the way, the people that got it that tested positive, we tested their saliva or whatever, and it doesn't look like they're sprayers or what's the word, spreaders. I mean, I want to know exactly what's happening here. We're talking about a worldwide problem, and I'm not getting it from these people. Is my question. Didn't say don't take the vaccine. I didn't say anything like that. What I said is, if Russell's grading this, he's going, you seem to have forgotten a few things.
There's a little bit more you could have done here.
Yeah. That's all. That's my entire litany on the subject. It's not that you shouldn't take them, nothing like that. I think you should take them.
But your point was is that if you get the choice between the yes. three, you would take the other two over the J&J.
Correct, because the same kind of testing, the numbers came back like it's like 800 and like 100 for the Pfizer. It was much different than 432 and 193.
And the gentleman that wrote in is saying, I disagree because you may be right about the testing. Well, I guess we'll find out. But he's saying that it eliminates bad cases at the same rate with better side effect profile.
That could be. That could very well be. You don't have to take two shots. You take one. And from what I'm what I'm hearing anecdotally, is a second shot hurts more than the first. You heard that too, Russell?
I'll let you know. The first shot I had, I get my second shot in 2 weeks from today.
Well, Frank said he couldn't sleep on that side. That arm was that sore that night, the first one.
Yeah, I could see that. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Every time I've gotten a flu shot, and I've only done it like two or three times, every time I've gotten one, it really is hit me hard. So I was kind of prepared for a bad reaction to shot number one. I think it hit my wife a little bit harder than it hit me.
Well, it has to hit you. I mean, it's forcing your body to think it's sick.
Yeah.
To create
yeah.
antibodies. So it's not like taking a glass of cheap wine. I mean, right?
It's like I woke up with grand plans to get a bunch of things done the day after and felt like I got hit by a truck about mid-afternoon.
Well, you know.
That's really all I recall.
You do realize that your producer, our friend Frank Fahey, was whining. He was sniveling. No, he was talking about his not whining or so.
Oh my God!
He was, and so Maddie,
Frank, I love you.
So guess what, Maddie says. My grandmother had it yesterday. She didn't have any problem with it.
Oh my God!
It is true. Paulie at Tripoli. I talked with him on Monday, and he got the first one, and he said, "Yeah, it really, really hurt his shoulder for about 3 or 4 hours, and then it just went away, and it was fine."
That's what I've heard from everybody. It's a 4 to 12 hour thing. The next morning, you're fine.
One other thing regarding J&J, real quick, that is, I think, something to think about is it may be better against the variants because it was the only one of the three that was tested when variants were out there of the virus.
I think is probably a very strong case for J&J is I don't think you need to even keep it in the freezer. I'm not positive about that. And you only need one shot. So if you're going to help people in third world countries, this is the one you're bringing, right?
Yeah.
Even if it's not quite as good, you're still using this one. So I'm just looking. All I'm trying to do is educate people of what these numbers say. And sometimes you have to read behind what the people on TV are telling you. Right, because they're not giving you the whole story. I'm just saying.
Is there an advantage? I'm asking you guys. I don't know if you know the answer, but is there any reason why I should get this vaccine?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Because if everyone else is getting it, that's high risk.
Well, but beyond that, if you pick it up, you know, you're a pretty healthy person. An uninformed opinion like everybody else in the world right now, but I heard one of the I heard an emergency room doctor that has focused on this in New York City on a podcast yesterday, and he said, you know, if we get to the 60-70% vaccine, that most, you know, young children that get it, but it doesn't really affect them like it affects older people, that they're not that concerned about that group of people. I just worded that so poorly, but hopefully people understand what I mean by that.
Well, the reason why
but I feel like Matt would fall with that in that as well. I feel like I'm borderline of, you know, I just am fortunate to qualify for the shot because I teach people in person already. But no, I don't see. I don't see if you're a younger somebody under 40 that's really healthy. Personally, I think you could debate amongst yourself whether or not you feel like it's worthwhile.
Yeah, I just wonder. I mean, I'm not against it at all. I mean, if someone offered me to get it tomorrow, I'd probably do it. But I've never had a flu shot before. Also, weirdly, never had the flu. Weird how that is. And, you know, I have no interest in getting this if 70% of the people are going to get it. And, you know, I might have had this already. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It's very possible. I think
it's possible.
I think just about every student I get in front of has probably already gotten it because I see how they hang out.
But there are people. But there are people that...
I certainly rode in the truck with Chief every day when he had it.
So. yeah, you did. And it, you know what? I didn't give it to anybody, and I didn't get it from anybody around me. Because everybody in the office here went and got tested. The reason why I hesitate to give an answer to this, Manny, is even though if people listen, they have this idea that I keep poo-pooing this disease. And nothing could be further from the truth, because the things I read, I've never come across, of all the stuff I've read, and how much I've read about this thing, a disease this unpredictable and this contagious. So I think that the reason why normally you wouldn't care so much about if you had a cold or flu staying in, unless it was your grandmother or something, you figure the other people, they got it too. So, but this one, I would say before I went to see my grandmother, I'd make sure I had a vaccine. Or I have to take the leap that she has the vaccine, so she's going to be okay. But there are young people that have had problems with this. It's not like every young person comes out of this. It's not like, everybody in my day went and got measles. Or if you had them, you didn't worry about it. Yeah, I'm going to say, Russell, out of 100 people that got measles, not every one of them flew through it in 7 days with just a few zits on you like I did and then my family did. I think there were people that had blood problems. In Civil War, measles was one of the biggest killers. I mean, if you didn't have the 50s housewife giving you chicken soup and keeping you warm, measles is a horrible disease.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't just make the assumption that everybody is going to be in a position where they're not going to get an adverse reaction, and they're not going to be in a position where they're taken care of.
All right. My wife is actually a drug research nurse. Do you want to pose these questions to her?
I would love to. I mean, I'd love to find out exactly.
Let's call her right now.
That's actually what I'm saying.
Well, I mean,
you stay here. I'm gonna go get Matt.
You know what? What I'd like to ask her before you do it, I want to ask her about other diseases where people like me say, well, everybody went and got measles, everybody went and got chickenpox. But the fact is, there had to be people that had a problem with it. Yeah, so I think that's a good idea. I mean, nothing. I would say, Maddie, that you have to take a leap of faith that everybody else had it. That's what you do. But I don't know. You're going to do what your wife tells you to do. I think. Just saying. But these are interesting questions. And I don't understand why the national debate can't be a little better. Why people can't ask questions like they can here in the show. And I'll tell you straight out exactly what I'm looking at. And if somebody says, well, the Johnson & Johnson gets a better response rate for people not getting sick, well, then that's one in their column. I mean, that's what debates are all about. And I don't like people being silenced when they have facts. I mean, that's kind of what I'm I'm dealing with. And that's what, why we try on the show to talk about. I'll show you the numbers I have that make me have an opinion. And we get something from a listener that says, well, what about this? Well, then, that you got to consider that too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right, Russell? I mean, it's you get people my age, blanket statements. Nobody had any problem with measles. Wait a minute, somebody must have had a problem. How many people died in Civil War camps with them? I mean, it wasn't like the common cold. It clearly was a disease. But I don't know how bad. I don't know how many kids in my neighborhood had to go to the hospital. I don't know how many kids who weren't taken care of didn't make it back out of the hospital. I mean, there's. The more you know, Russell, I mean, you're a professor, so you know more than me. The more you know, the more obvious the world is how much you don't know.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. When I embarked upon my PhD, that's exactly what an aged academic said to me, was you don't know, the more you dig into complex topics, the more you figure out that you don't know. And there's this area of study that is pretty much beyond me, that's called basic science, that everything goes back down to, that people focus on minuscule topics instead of going back down to the elementary causes of stuff. So.
Hey, before we get, she is good.
Oh, cool. Hi, honey.
Oh, God. Did you see his red sweater that he's in here with before he left the house?
Yeah, it wasn't a vest.
No, it wasn't. you know him too well. I love it.
I'm going to regret this. Hey, I'm going to sit back and stay out of the way here.
We have been opining on the vaccines and so forth, and we've gotten some people from the questions from our listenership. But my question to you is just because I know nothing. When people talk, you know, people my age say, "Hey, when we were a kid, you know, everybody had measles and nobody had a problem with it." Yet I also know that measles killed a bazillion people in Civil War camps. These old diseases that people allegedly had no problem with, I'm going to say they did have problems with it, and I just don't know how much. And that's what I wanted to ask you, because obviously you're, I mean, how much of these old diseases, like we were talking about, should somebody who's healthy right now is 35, when everybody else gets their vaccine, should they even get one? Should they worry about it? I mean, and that, so Russell said that's more of a question for you, and I agreed. What happens when some of the people are, like, I mean, everybody had measles when I was a kid, but how many people didn't make it out of the hospital, or how many kids had problems with it?
Well, it's quite a few people didn't make it out of the hospital with the measles, but you don't remember that.
No, I don't. It's my mask.
Right? So from the standpoint of the new vaccine, you're 35 years old, whether or not you should get it or not. It's not necessarily whether or not you should get it. It's whether or not you want to go into the hospital and be on a ventilator for 4 weeks and be in a coma.
Well, how many people at age 35 has that actually happened to?
Oh, quite a few. There was just a young woman. She's 48, I think, and she's on ABC quite a bit in Chicago on the news. And she just succumbed.
Wow.
And I know quite a few people whose cousins or uncles who are all in the middle age or young middle age that they've succumbed. There is that young actor, he was 32 in L.A., and he died. There's many, many people in that cohort. It's not just an 80-year-old dying.
I got a research thing. One of the things that's been basically pissing me off since we're talking straight here is every decent study I get seems to be from overseas. I don't know why somebody's gotten a clamp on it here, but I got a study out of Britain that said that there's four DNA sort of disease predilection, one of them being diabetes, that if you have those particular, that DNA, those problems with your DNA, that you're at risk even if you're 25. Is that what you're...
That's correct.
What are the other three that I forgot? One of them was diabetes, and there was three other things that were...
Well, I'm sure if for someone young, it may be any lung disease, heart disease, things like that. But from your standpoint, and from the general population standpoint, you don't want to go to the into the ICU.
No.
So these... All of the vaccines that have been, agreed upon from the CDC, right, you got our emergency use, they all stop you from getting sick, so sick that you are in the ICU. Even Johnson & Johnson, I think, is a 67% efficacy.
Just what we're talking about.
99% that you don't go into the ICU. And that's what you want. If you can stay at home and cough and have a fever, that's great. But if you cough and have a fever and you're in the ICU and all of that starts to happen where you get much more sick, you get clots, things like that. So that's why you want the vaccine. That's why you want to vaccinate everyone.
Okay, so it keeps the, even though people might still get it, which we don't really know yet, we'll know more as time goes by, the fact is people aren't dying from it and not getting extreme cases, so you're right. That would be a hell of a lot better.
That's right. And so, like, even with measles, mumps, and rubella, the MMR shot, which most children get, and then they get a bumper shot at, I think, 10, and then another bump at 18, what ends up happening if you miss that your booster shot at 10 or 18, which most schools say, oh, you have to have it, you know, they check for that. What happens, and it happened in California, one person had measles in California and went to Disney World, and they exposed, I think it was something like 150 people because of standing in line. And those people who did not have any type of vaccine or hadn't had the booster shot, they were all sick with measles, and they had a huge epidemiological outbreak of measles in California. simply from one kid going to Disneyland.
I know you read this, you unfortunately probably read this stuff like I do. Measles is by far the most contagious thing anybody's ever found. The average person with measles infects 15 other people.
Yeah, I wasn't in pediatrics, so I can't speak to that, but just from my own standpoint with having children, you know, vaccines save lives. That's the only thing you should think about. If I get this vaccine, am I going to save my life? Am I going to save my wife's life? Am I going to save my kids or my grandparents? And so, or even just my next door neighbor?
I have two questions from earlier. Sorry, I'm grilling you, but I have this inquisitive mind, and plus I'm here with your husband, and he has the same thing, which probably drives you nuts. But why is the testing on this stuff? I'm just reading all the stuff here for Johnson & Johnson. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they chase people down with a random sample and actually try and figure out if these people actually got the disease, a lesser, were they able to give it to somebody else? It seems like the testing of it is a little light. Is that just
when you look at the way any type of clinical trial acts, no matter what, they did try and run those people down. But if people don't return their phone calls, you can't do anything about it.
Well, how do you pick them in the first place? How do you find 40,000 people in Brazil to do this? How do you even do that?
So you have a set of criteria. So, and those criteria are usually available online right now, especially I know Moderna put out their criteria. This is what we're looking for. And like for the Moderna kids vaccine, that was out. You could get online and see their criteria. So Johnson & Johnson in their published report, which I haven't read, they would have put in their criteria. So it was probably, let's say, you have to be 18 and above. You can't have certain things that would be wrong with you. They're looking for people who have any type of, like they wouldn't put somebody who had a lung transplant in.
Okay.
See? Things like that. And so, or cystic fibrosis. I don't think they would put a patient who had cystic fibrosis in. So I don't know their criteria, but that would be in that paper that you read.
Did they, do they pay these people?
It depends. I used to pay patients and other times I didn't. And the stipend is usually really small. I know for the Moderna kids vaccine that's being done out of Duke, basically with sites all over the United States, they're paying kids and parents $750. And really,
wow. Did you sign the kids up? Did you sign the kids up?
Have blood taken.
Yeah. he wants to know if you signed the kids up.
I tried. I did. And I knew the principal investigator. Like, I knew the person who was in charge. I'm like, put my kids in.
I've been bitching about this for 3 days in the sense that the way we're chasing people down here, if somebody tests positive, we're contact tracing, we're doing all this kind of stuff, it just seems odd to me that when we have this type of thing, and you're educating us on this, thank you, is that you would just do this to 40,000 people and say, hey, call me if you're sick. I mean, it just seems a little odd.
The way coronavirus has been is you don't know if you have it or COVID unless you actually are tested for it. So I can just say in our house, you know, both Russell and I woke up with like a sinus headache, and we both looked at each other and were like, do we have it? You just don't know. You have to be tested. And Russell is lucky that he gets to be tested all the time.
Okay,
yeah.
Well,
yeah, I got to go once a week or they don't let me in the building.
Well, I guess that brings up a sort of another question is, the people that, well, where am I going to go? I got about 12 questions flying around.
Do you want to, I'm going to be a producer. You want a break?
No.
Okay. All right.
we don't get a guest like this. Sorry, Russell.
She'll stick around. Trust me.
Yeah, we'll do another few minutes, but
okay,
I guess what I was reading some stuff. What happened to the flu season?
So, if you look at what happened with the flu season, we're trying to prevent COVID. So everyone is sitting at home wearing masks. right? Yep. You go to the grocery store, you have a mask on. You go pick up your medication, you have a mask on. And so that is decreasing the transmission of the flu, no matter what.
Well, you think it also...
By putting on a mask, you have protected other people, and people have been protected to you. So we didn't have a flu outbreak like we normally do, especially in this area, because everyone's wearing masks. Well, and also, you're not like going, well, maybe you are, but you're not going to the bar to have a drink.
Hey, hey, what are you trying to accuse me of that?
Every Saturday night.
What about, how about every night?
Well, every night, but you're not sitting in a bar, right? You're not at Twin Anchors sitting over there having a drink because, you know, they were technically closed down, I think, until just a few weeks ago.
If I knew they were open, I'd have been over there. Just saying.
Well, and I appreciate that.
But no, what I'm saying is a lot to do with the fact that nobody could come here from the southern hemisphere and never got here?
No, I don't think it's that. I think it has more to do with the amount of people wearing masks.
Okay. So you're a mask supporter.
Absolutely. Two, if you can.
Oh, God. See, I'd be debating you on that. Because I think when I caught mine, I was wearing a mask, so I'm a little bit less of a mask supporter than you.
You were positive? I didn't know.
I already had. I think I got it at a hospital taking a test. Believe it or not.
You mean like you were in getting your blood taken? And
no, I was in one of those stupid, not stupid, brilliant, one of those big tubes where they're taking pictures of you.
Oh, okay. So you think you got it through an MRI machine or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it has been proven that it has to be a droplet. But droplets can stay around, and that's why people are wearing masks. It comes through your mouth and your nose.
Okay.
So when you sneeze, you know, I'm sure you've seen like the Dateline or something, that if you sneeze with a mask, it's better for you versus sneezing without a mask, that your droplets go all over. So someone could have not been wearing a mask and sneezed, and you walked through it.
Not a whole place was wearing it, but it just must, I just think the hospitals have been the hotbed of the whole thing. Everybody who's connected with the show that had caught it either was picking somebody up at a hospital or was doing something. This is early on. And
I do think you are pretty confident in knowing where you caught it, because I don't think anyone knows where they catch something.
So I'll tell you, my sister caught it, all right? Has no idea how. She's a mask proponent. Has no clue how she caught it.
Well, yeah, I'm
going to say...
She's a real healthy girl, and she was like, I don't know, all I do is go to Jewel for the food.
Well, that's another... I mean, the funny part about that, and we'll let you go, is that they had the mayor of El Paso on, and they were talking to a lady who was asking him, well, it happened to be a lady commentator, where do you think that it's stuff spreading? He goes, we know where it's spreading. It's spreading at home and in big box stores. And she says, well, why... And she says, well, why do you got the other places closed and not those places? He's because it's a dictum from Washington that we can't close the big boxes because everybody needs them. So, I mean, why they ever closed the small places, there was a lady out in Naperville who ran this restaurant, and they closed the restaurant, right? A restaurant bar. Yeah. And the lady says, look at across the street. They're butthole to elbow.
Look at Costco.
At the Costco, and nobody can come in here. I mean, were we out of our mind? I mean, and if you wanted to be a person who looked at our leadership and saw how inconsistent they were, it's pretty scary. I mean, you and I could have a blue jean store and we're closed yet you can buy all the blue jeans you want at Target. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Well, I can tell you from our familial standpoint is that I have gone to a Costco big box store exactly 3 times the whole time for a year.
What do you make
of stocked up?
Yeah. What do you make of the people who appear to be, I'll use the term, have the T-cell immunity? You're closer to, where do you think that came from? Where some people just don't get it or didn't get it?
I think that from that standpoint that they probably did, but their body was either able to fight it off, or they just got the sniffles for 2 days and didn't realize what was going on. And then they have the immunity.
Well, very early on, Dr. Fauci said that this is an absolutely new disease, and all the original horrible stuff, all the graphs and everything, were based on 100% of the people were liable. And yet it appears that they're not. I mean, not everybody on the cruise ship got it, not everybody on the aircraft carrier got it, that there was some, either was a COVID cold or was something, but some people had some sort of immunity to it. I mean, there's no progress, and is where that came from. Nobody's figured that out yet.
No, they haven't. But the COVID, like if you look at the spike protein, that's what infects. Is that tiny little spike protein?
Yep.
So that has been around for a long time. And the reason we've been able to get that mRNA vaccine, which is Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine, is they have been working on that for over 10 years.
Yeah, this was not a year project.
They've known about a coronavirus with the spike protein for over 10 years. But the virus itself, COVID-19, has been manipulated or it changed. So maybe it was just it went back and forth, I don't know, from bats or whatever they find out where it comes from. I have no idea, right? But suddenly something changed about it and it was able to be transmitted aerosolized. And that's where people are saying it's a brand new. It's because we've never seen this before under the microscope.
Okay.
We've seen coronaviruses with a spike, and that's SARS-1, which we've dealt with. But this is SARS-2. This is a brand new coronavirus with how the spikes are made.
Okay, but it did turn out that some people did have, at least for a while, some kind of immunity.
Well, from COVID-19, which we're talking about, I think some people have had immunity because they got it and didn't realize they had it.
That's probably true. Hey, thank you very much. You know, be nice to them. We like them.
She's nice to me.
I know.
Nice to I am. I'm a lovely person.
Yes. Yeah. And obviously, you know your stuff. You know, thank you for that. Thanks for calling in. We'll do this again. I got all kinds of other disease questions I can ask you.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. Take care of yourself. S&P futures only down, well, we're down 2 now. NASDAQ futures down 23. So much for being up. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. Boy, on break, we're whack-whack on the market here. We're now boozer down 9, so that's a 35-point swing.
It flipped!
And Nasdaq futures are down 62. That's a, 130-point split, like during break? What'd you do over there, Russell, for God's sake?
That's what happens when you let my wife on the radio.
Yeah, well, you know, boy, that was educational.
The markets crash? Yeah, she talks the market. I like how she talked her book, because she owns Moderna.
Oh, there you go.
You gotta love it.
She fits in well on this show.
She should be on CNBC for God.
Yeah, exactly.
The DAX up 84. I know it's probably down a little bit, but these are 10-minute delays on this. DAX up 84.6%. FTSE up 41.6%. CAC around up 26.4%. We're in Asia. We're the upside here, but again, we were way down yesterday. You believe how much these Asian markets are going up and down, Russell, the last week or so?
Yeah.
We're talking 4%.
Well, yeah.
Nikkei up 150.5%. Shanghai up 68. That's pushing 2%. Hang Seng up 784. That's 2.7%. Hong Kong up almost 3% as Asia Pacific markets rise, is the headlines. Bonds, 1.46. That's up 4 basis points. Bund up 3 basis points to minus 0.31. How that's still negative? We comment on that if we're done with this. I don't see how they can be.
More buyers than sellers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Japan, positive 0.12. We've got oil up 70 cents now, 60.45. Brent up 70, 63.40. Natural gas up 2 cents, 286. RBOB, 194. Say goodbye to below $2 gas for like a long time, Russell. Gold, minus 23. Why gold continues to go down, I don't know. But I can't say that every day. Silver down 61 cents. Copper down 6 cents. Matty, what do you got for us, Trap? Oh, let me get my crypto here. Bitcoin up 4,051,461. Matty, what do you got for us?
The Bitcoin swings are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Coming up on 46 minutes past the hour. We obviously went long last segment, but that was worth it. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Traffic starting to build as we're approaching 8 o'clock here in Chicago. Significant delays on the inbound and outbound Kennedy. Not due to any crashes, just a high traffic volume. Same for the Eisenhower. Stevenson is looking good. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are pretty quiet. Off the expressways, we have a few crashes to report. Villa Avenue at Wooddale Road, which is Irving Park out in the western suburbs, there is a crash. And then just west of there, in Hanover Park, it looks like we have, let's see, my screen just went away, a vehicle fire, Ontarioville Road at Lake Street, and then just northwest of there, as I mentioned earlier this morning, Algonquin Road remains closed between Bateman and Helm Road due to an earlier crash, significant crash there blocking Algonquin Road, which is a pretty busy road. One other issue in the area is 11th Avenue between Main and Washington in the western suburbs is closed due to utility work. And that's just south of I-88 there. Weather today, a beautiful early March day. Sunshine, mild temperatures will approach 50 degrees for our high today. Right now it's clear and 39 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, overcast skies but warm, a high of 82. Right now it's partly cloudy and 53. In sports, Bulls were off last night. They're in New Orleans tonight to take on the Pelicans. That's a 7 p.m. Chicago time tip. Suns outlasted the Lakers 114-104. College hoops, Illinois with the win of the year in college basketball last night. Shorthanded, yet went on the road and blew out number 2 Michigan in Ann Arbor 76-53. DePaul continues their miserable season. They lost at home to Marquette 77-71. Chief.
Whenever anybody talks about a car fire, I immediately... my feeble brain drops to one of my best buddies from college, Russell. Get a load of this.
Mm-hmm.
The guy buys this. Now, he's a year younger than me, so and his then-girlfriend, now wife, was going to grad school, so he hung around South Bend for a while she was going to grad school for biology, of all things. And so he buys his junker car, right, and with three on the tree, which I'm sure... I've never actually driven one of those. I've seen them, and Matty Weber wouldn't even know what I'm talking about. But so... we go skiing, so he parks the car in front of my house. Now, my stepfather He was one of these guys from the old school where you had to like drive the car every once in a while. It was back when you had cars. So it's wintertime. He goes, well, the front seat doesn't have, there's no bolts holding the front of the front seat down, just the back. So if you take off too fast, the seat flips back.
Yeah.
So you're looking at the ceiling. So my stepfather goes, I'll drive Pat's car up to church.
Oh, boy.
And so he gets in there, puts it in first gear, off he goes. There he is staring, looking at the ceiling. Well, like 2 weeks later, everybody's back at school. I'm back at work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in grad school. And he sees this. He comes out of the bar and there's his car and it's on fire. He goes, ah, some bleep's car's on fire. He walks up and he goes, I'm the bleep. It was his car. He goes, I see this guy's car and I'm laughing. He calls me up. He goes, you got to hear this. I haven't told anybody else. I'm laughing to myself over somebody's car on fire until I found out it was mine.
I have a quick 30-second car fire story. My buddy and I went down to St. Louis. We were young, like early 20s, for a Cubs-Cardinal game. And I had an old crappy Beretta. You remember those Chevy Berettas?
Oh, God, yeah.
Like early 90s?
Yeah.
And it was a piece of crap.
Well, they were garbage, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so we're driving down to St. Louis, and or driving back from St. Louis. And so we're like in Missouri, and because this is back when I lived in Iowa. So we're heading north back to Iowa, not through Illinois. Anyway, I realized that something happened into the car's electrical box, and my taillights went out. And some of
how,
my
how did you know your taillights?
Well, some of my interior lights went out. I didn't know. I didn't know my taillights went out, but some of my interior lights went out. My headlights were still on, but it was like a fuse blew or something. Something weird happened, and all of a sudden, I'm driving the speed limit. And I'm like, man, these interior lights, like, what's going on here? But we kept going because the headlights were on, and then I get pulled over. I'm not speeding, and the officer goes, you know, I pulled you over because your taillights are out, and you know, this car is obviously unfit for the road.
You said you only knew the whole story,
right? So I right. So I'm like, oh crap. So anyway, he goes back to like, you know, to his car to like make a call or something, and my buddy goes, hey, do you have a paperclip? And I'm like, no. I'm like, what? And he starts fishing through my glove compartment. He finds a paperclip, and he rigs the fuse box with a paperclip, and all of a sudden the lights flip back on. And the officer goes, well, I mean, your lights, he goes, what'd you guys do? And I go, apparently we bumped a switch or something, and it made the lights go off. But, you know, we fixed it. All good, sir. and he goes, all right, well, I guess it's not a problem. You know, be on your way. So anyway, we drive off. I'm like, man, how did you do that? He's like, I just knew some way that you could sort of jig it or whatever. Anyway, we get about 5 miles down the road. Sparks start flying.
Oh, yeah.
out of the fuse box, and it bursts into like a flame. And so like I swerve over and pull over, and you know, we quickly put it out, and sure enough, you know, the lights go back off, and then we ended up making it the last like 2 hours all the way home and didn't get pulled over without tail lights.
You still had the headlights?
Headlights never were affected.
Wow.
I don't know why. It like I said, that car was weird as hell, but yeah, had a car, the fire like blew up over my left leg while I was driving on the highway.
It pays to buy the best, as they
did
say.
Did you just leave that car in Iowa City?
I basically, if I remember correctly, that car was such a lemon. I think I ended up selling it to somebody for like $750.
Wow.
And that was it.
And you took him.
Right, and I might have taken him.
God. Somebody's my grandfather, when they used to have the Model A's, well, the extended family was in Columbus, and I think it was like two or three trips where he took. Of course, it was all the adventure in those days. It was the trip. It wasn't the destination. And so, like two or three times, he'd be on the way, and in Ohio, the thing had conk out, and he'd like trade cars with a farmer and go on with the farmer's car. He ended up at the
it's
end
like
of
the 1800s.
Yeah, it was like the farmer would go, "I got one of those. I'll get it fixed. Well, here, how about give me $25? Take mine." Because they're all the same, the Model A's and stuff, I guess. I don't know. I never rode one. But they ended up with a different world back then. You didn't worry about it. They didn't have any cell phones, anything. But whatever the adventure is, we'll just take care of it. It was an interesting attitude those people had. I mean, I'm kind of a, and you, Russell, we're kind of a bridge generation. We're not, if there's going to be a cell phone, we'd like to have one in case something happens on us. But
yeah.
I can remember, we drove to Wyoming to go skiing in my old Jeep. We didn't have any phones or anything like that. I mean, you had a map and that was it. You went. You know, if something were to happen, you dealt with it. I mean, as best you could. Right? You couldn't have been afraid of what you didn't have when you didn't even know it existed. Right?
Right. We didn't have an electronic voice telling us where to go.
No. Hey, no. While you're here, we had Mike the other day. giving us his opinion, opining regarding the VIX.
Mm-hmm.
And he's convinced that this up again, down again, all over the place, even though it stays seemingly within a range, it's so violent and the VIX is so high that he thinks we're going to break out one way or the other, and he's pretty convinced it's down. But his timing is
not just because there's very little time, but I have a really hard time disagreeing with that. I really do think that's why the VIX remains high. And you'll hear people that talk about, well, VIX is rising when the stock market is rising. Well, it could be because of the call activity. It is rarely, if ever, because people are buying calls.
Right.
It really does come down to, over the long term, the amount of put purchasing that's going on the S&P 500.
And commodities, it's different. People buy.
Oh, commodities. Yeah. It's commodities, implied vol for commodities. And the folks at the CME Group have just come out with some indexes that will allow you to get a feel for whether or not the concerns are to the upside or to the downside. But for stocks, it's just ever since 87, it's always been more expensive options to the downside than the upside. And you'll see that, the put buying activity is really what, there are days where maybe some call activity will push VIX in one direction, but it really is the put buying activity that maintains VIX at, mid-20s where it is right now.
I think you're correct on the VIX, but...
commodities.
But comment on this, Professor.
Mm-hmm.
I think the stocks that are not close to the VIX, the crazy ones from the last... The ones that you and I don't even know that are trading for $300, we don't know what the company is.
Mm-hmm.
Those, the skew is either non-existent to the downside or it could actually be to the upside.
There are some stocks like, GameStop is absolutely an example of that. But, that you're talking about maybe a couple dozen stocks out of, what do we got, about 4,000?
Yeah, except they're
plus,
all
4,300 now.
Except some of them are trading so high. It's not like they're just, well, they might be schlump companies, but the fact is their market value is not schlumpy. It's huge.
No, it's absolutely huge. And you would think that people would be taking a look at puts and going, hey, maybe I can make some money to the downside. But, when GameStop was up around 350, the short-dated 200 puts were trading for 50, 60 bucks. So you really had to get a massive drop out of... out of the stock. And I almost think that the puts were being priced at a point where, nobody was going to try and sell them, but nobody wanted, the market makers maybe just really didn't want people buying them either because they're having such a hard time keeping up with
staying
delta neutral.
But I did some calculations. It was after you were, it must have been Thursday, because also would have run them by you on Friday. And when GameStop was up $100, what, one night? Was it last Wednesday night? Was it after the close?
It was.
Yeah, so I didn't have you to opine on Wednesday morning because you'd already been here.
Mm-hmm.
So I dug out how many shares outstanding are in GameStop, and I think there's like 70 million.
Yeah, it's the upper 60s.
Right, so it was 69.8 or something, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the weird part is they used to have more. Why would those guys buy stock in? They used to have 90 or something, and they bought 20 of them in, or whatever. They did something with them. And so they pick up $7 billion in market cap in one afternoon.
Yeah.
And now, so I dig in. Have they ever made any money? They lost like $18 million last quarter.
I think they made money back in the day.
Okay, but I'm saying.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, you're probably right. But yeah. I don't, that's why I'm asking. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what would possess that company to all of a sudden be worth $7 billion more? I mean, who's kidding who? I mean, do the people trading this stuff even look at the stuff? Even look at these numbers?
No. For the most part, they don't. Now, I don't want to discount the guy, but really, the guy that initially said there's more value in GameStop when the stock was like at 5 than the market was giving it credit for, there was a really good justifiable argument behind that. There's not a justifiable argument behind what's going on right now.
Well, there really isn't.
Basically, it rallied because they said they were going to change management.
Well, what... real quick question.
Uh-huh.
As you research... inflation throughout history, you either have something that happened here in the 70s where inflation overtook people through gasoline and then because of the Arabs, and but it really was a monetary phenomenon, but it always starts out in one area every different time.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up having high rates of interest here, and the market was essentially in the tank. Yet other countries that have had runaway inflation, ours wasn't maybe a runaway, but inflation, the stock market just keeps racing up with the dollar, yeah. with their, and the entire society gets essentially eviscerated. And, yet the stock market is at an all-time high, just like Iran, I mean, Venezuela. Wow. In the Weimar Republic, but
yeah,
what's the difference between the two? Because I mean, ours didn't behave like that at all. And this time, it looks like it might be a little bit.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons the stock market's hovering up where it's hovering is the anticipation that asset inflation is going to maintain, you know, help it maintain those levels because the fundamentals just do not justify it. And that's the only reason that I can come up with wanting to own stocks right now. Is that they will go up. You know, they should go up theoretically along with inflation. But I wonder how much inflation is already being discounted by the stock market and, you know, the whole, you know.
Well, someday somewhere, somebody's going to say, I can't, we'll continue on this next week. I can't give you my money for 10 years for 1.5% because, you know, inflation's 4.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyway, Russell, thank you very much.
You betcha.
Thank you for the invite for the whiff, and she was terrific. And she liked your sweater. S&P futures down 6, NASDAQ futures up 54, down 54. That wouldn't be bad, except we started a lot higher. Be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.